This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
And when do you expect these subpoenas to go out?
Well, the letters have already gone out to the staffers as well as Dr. O'Connor. So if we don't hear anything from them in a week, then I would expect to start seeing subpoenas.
And if they fight the subpoena, what do you do?
We'll go to court. Jesse, they're going to try to plead executive privilege, and they're lawyering up, and we're ready. That's why we're making sure every I's dotted and every T's crossed. The best thing that's happened in the last week with respect to this is all the new books that are coming out and all the former Biden staffers who are trying to cover their tracks. You're going to see people like Pete Buttigieg, who think they have political futures, come forward and say, you know, we didn't know anything. There were gatekeepers. They wouldn't let us speak with Joe Biden. And the more that comes out, the easier it's going to be to get to the truth.
So, okay, we're looking into the auto pen question. A lot of people have a lot of questions about it, and the House Oversight Committee is going to look into it. You were listening to the Oversight Chair, Representative James Comer there. Let's talk to another member of the Oversight Committee. Missouri's 7th Congressional District Representative Eric Burleson is on with us. Congressman, thank you for being with us here today. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Great to be back, Annie.
So I'm just going to let you have the open floor to react to the efforts of the Oversight Committee here. What are they looking to uncover?
Yeah, I think that the more that we learn about this, and especially now you've got lefty, reporters writing books about all this cover up. I think this may be one of the greatest scandals, at least of our generation, if not more. I mean,
wow.
You have what's evidently a sitting president of the United States that was obviously not making the decisions. There, from what I can tell, is a group of five people that were kind of the gatekeepers. And, what's really impactful, what I think we need to get down to the bottom of is how did these individuals determine who got pardons, for example, at the end?
Yeah.
There's people that are kind of leaking that there was money being paid, payouts to these individuals who just happened to have the decision making as who got a pardon, because Joe Biden didn't know. He clearly wasn't paying attention to what was going on.
That's a lot to take in. Representative Eric Burleson with us. I think it's the focus that I have on this, it doesn't seem like it's as much, or at least not exclusively or only, an investigation into Joe Biden. It's a lot more of an investigation into what was going on around Joe Biden. Who knew what? When did they know it? And how were they involved in it? I mean, are you looking specifically into Joe Biden and his particular actions, or does this involve a lot of people?
Yeah, I think that we need to determine the people that are in his nexus and to see if they violated any federal laws. At the end of the day, I think the American people deserve to know who was making these decisions, who was signing these executive orders, or determining what the executive order was. You look at his administration, it seemed like absolute chaos. And it almost seemed like there were times where you thought, does Joe Biden even really care about this country? With what he was doing to the border, with what was happening with foreign policies, with Ukraine and all these other countries going to war. It was very, very confusing. And to some extent, I think that, I think his family, and I think we were able to demonstrate that his family was on the take. I mean, he was making major policy decisions, especially as a vice president, based on who was doing business with his son and with his brother. So now that he's no longer the president, and now that there's people that were adjacent to him that don't have any benefit of continuing to defend him, I think that you're going to see a lot of people come forward and admit wrongdoing of this administration, of that administration.
We're speaking with Congressman Eric Burleson, who is a member of the House Oversight Committee, the Freedom Caucus as well, and the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. I have so many questions to ask you, so I'm trying to pare them down for the best options here. We ask this question of our audience. We do a poll every day. And, you know, it's kind of a broad statement, and your initial reaction might not be the same as thinking about it a little bit. But I'm wondering if it's possible in your investigation into what took place during the Biden administration, if there was ever a time where Joe Biden became a victim, if people took advantage of him, if he was not cognizant of what was going on around him because of his mental state. Is it possible that he became kind of a victim of the system that he was born out of?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, yeah. And you see this happen with families. Unfortunately, there are families that take advantage of their elderly family members and the money that's coming in from Social Security and other avenues, and they control the purse and they control the decisions. I think that as we look into this, we'll determine to what extent Joe Biden was aware. I don't think he was very aware, but we'll determine that and see to what extent did people take advantage of him and thusly took advantage of the United States.
Congressman Eric Burleson speaking with us right now. You talked about people coming to testify and to open up and to kind of spill the beans on what was actually taking place. Do you expect whistleblowers to come out, some people who might have been very personally connected with what was actually taking place and wanting to put themselves in a position where maybe they are offered some protections?
Yeah, I do think that you're going to have people that were part of that inner circle that are going to be looking for cover. They're going to be looking for ways to get out from underneath the heavy hand that's coming down on them. And I would expect that we're going to get, if I know Jamie Comer, I'll say this. If I know Jamie, he's probably already got a whistleblower or two waiting in the wings. Cause that's how, you know, the chairman operates. He collects a lot of information, a lot of data, and he doesn't go public until he's got enough to work with. And so I think that when Chairman Comer is talking, there's generally some evidence that goes with it.
I'm looking up right now. Is he a lawyer by trade?
He's not.
Like a lawyer thing to do.
He's a farmer. And I think his family is involved in banking and small business in Kentucky. But I think he has large scale properties.
Well, so you're expecting Comer to have had this handled, to know what he's got before the American public knows what he's got. That's probably absolutely the right way to go about it. We're watching and we're waiting to find out what truths actually do come out from this. But it sounds like, from what I've talked with you, what I've talked with some other guests that we've had on the show, that the capacity of Joe Biden while he was the president was alarmingly diminished. But there were also questions about his health when he was running to be the president of the United States.
Yes.
It didn't dawn on people in 2021 or 2022, like, oh my gosh, this is getting bad, that people would have known. Do you believe, Congressman, that there was a cover up during the campaign? And an understanding that upon Joe Biden's election, that this would be a presidency by committee.
Yeah, I think that they were clearly protecting him from the moment that he was the candidate, that he was the nominee. You know, and I think COVID gave him the excuse of hiding in the bunker. We probably would have had some of those debate moments had he come out and been more public. So I think that they definitely were hiding it from the American people. They were trying to protect him. And I think that there's some that may have not known the full extent of his decline and just kind of said, you know, yeah, sure, he's slowing down. But I think the left were so hell-bent to stop Donald Trump that they were willing to, you know, put a mentally, you know, someone who's having cognitive problems in the White House, which is very disturbing. But, you know, I remember there was times when the speaker both McCarthy and Johnson have had come back from meetings with the White House and spoken to the president. And, for example, Johnson tells a story, and he's told it publicly, that he went to go meet with the president. He asked him specifically about an executive order, and Joe Biden said, I didn't do that. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, Mr. President, you signed it last week. You signed this executive order. And Joe Biden adamantly denied that he did. He didn't know anything about what the speaker was talking about. So, hearing those firsthand reports, especially now that we know more and more, it seems like he was being taken advantage of.
Congressman Burleson,
I will say this, Annie, if I can.
Sure.
I've seen enough about the Biden family that I don't, I hate for anybody to go through physically what he's going through. But the truth is, there's a lot of people in the federal medical prison down the road that have done less and have been less fraudsters and schemed, against more people, less people than the Bidens have.
Right.
And so the truth is, yes, it's awful what he's going through, but the truth is he he's never going to serve time, but he probably should have served time in jail for everything that he did and the money that he laundered from all these foreign countries to his family.
Well, Congressman, I'd like to have you back on as this investigation progresses, because I have a million more questions that I want to ask you about it. And as it develops, we want to get you back here to update the people of Missouri and, of course, our friends here in Illinois about what your experience is on the House Oversight Committee. But before I let you go, I do want to ask you about the big, beautiful bill that my understanding is it got your vote last week, passed by one vote to move out of the House of Representatives. We're asking in our poll today of our audience, how do you grade the House Republicans? And with that bill passing, Donald Trump wanted it to pass. I know that you've advocated as a Freedom Caucus member, certainly for cuts to actually be fiscally responsible here. How do you grade the House Republicans?
I would give us a C minus, if not a D plus. If you'd asked me before that, I'd say maybe an F or a D. I think that the truth is, while the bill the best way I can explain the bill is that we're 37 points down in a baseball game, and we just bunted to get on first, and we're applauding it. So the truth is, we have a long ways to go. But you could put yourself in my shoes. If that's the only thing that you can take, you'll take it at this time. But it doesn't mean that we don't continue the fight. And I think your audience and that I will continue to have my head down and to try to get more and more spending cuts in place to save this country.
Yeah, people know that about you. You've made that very clear. We talked about sad Elon Musk. He seems to be kind of down in the dumps. Like, this is the best we can do, that we're not going to be able to cut our way out of this fiscal irresponsibility. Decades and decades of fiscal irresponsibility is now all put upon your congressional class right now. Is there an expectation that in future years here, at least while Donald Trump is still the president, hopefully the Republicans maintain the majority, will they go deeper in those cuts?
I think that there's a chance, especially even this year, there's a chance that we can get some rescissions done. There's a window of opportunity where they can do rescissions within the 45 days, and Congress doesn't have the opportunity to act, and they become permanent. So, some of the discussions that we had during this continuing resolution vote, that was the contingency upon getting a lot of conservatives to vote for it, was a commitment to a certain level of rescission cuts in that 45-day window. So I think that we have that in play. But I also think that, look, this bond market, the reality is reality. It's almost like a law of gravity. You can't, at some point, your debt, the cost of debt becomes so high that you can't take on any more debt. I think that's what it's going to take to force some of my colleagues to understand that we have to cut spending.
Do you believe that President Trump's efforts to grow the economy, with his investments in the country, of course, the tariff implementation, he's making a lot of promises. He has a lot of anticipation for it. Could the growth of the American economy help with the lack of cuts, or is it, do you not see that meeting in the middle?
At some point, you can't cut your way there. You're going to have to grow, but you also have to cut. So cutting spending, for example, will cause a lot of growth in the United States. Because every dime that we take out in debt, we're going and we're competing against people that are trying to get a mortgage or businesses that are trying to get a loan. We're the ones buying all the debt. And as a result, the interest rates, even though the Fed might be lowering interest rates, the rates are not going down because we're out there buying and artificially increasing the demand. So we have to cut spending. But I do think when we do, we may not have to cut it all the way in order to balance. I think cutting a significant level of spending will do many things. It will reduce interest rates, and it will bring inflation down, because when the federal government stops spending and interest rates go down, inflation will go down.
Do you believe in Trump's vision?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I do. I think that he wants to grow our way out of this, and I think that his vision of cutting income taxes, moving to a tariff, is an interesting and new concept, and one that I think in theory could pan out to be much better than the current status quo, where we have high income taxes and we're basically punishing productivity and instead of punishing consumption. So mm-hmm. I think, as somebody who is a fair taxer, I kind of like Trump's policies in that regard.
Congressman Eric Burleson, we're very grateful for your time, and you know it's very valuable. Thank you for joining us to discuss these important issues, and please come back again soon to give us updates, especially on that House Oversight Committee investigation into what really was going on during the Biden presidency. We're grateful for your time today.
Thank you, Annie. Anytime.
Sounds good. We'll call you on that. Congressman Eric Burleson, representing Missouri's 7th Congressional District, he gives the House GOP, of which he is a member, he said a C-, maybe a D, before this would have been an F. So no delusions of grandeur there from Congressman Burleson. We'll like to compare his notes to yours on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. So join us. You go to youtube.com/@AnnieFry, or just open the YouTube app on your phone. You find our live broadcast right there in the comments section. That's where the YouTube live chat poll is. And you can grade the House Republicans. Might feel really good to click that F. Might feel really good to click that A, or something in between. It's up to you. But if you want your voice heard, go vote there right now. Let's get Ryan Wiggins back in studio when we come back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.